Lesson 1.2. Assess the strength of your relationships. The minimum core ingredients clients seek are trust, delivery, value, and likability. But what does a good relationship look like from the outside? How do you know you have one? And what are the different stages of development in client relationships? There are 6 distinct levels of relationships that you pass through. The first 2 levels are non-clients, and the next 4 are clients. At level 1, the person is simply a contact. You may have met once or perhaps been introduced through social media. At level 2, the person is an acquaintance. You've known each other for a while. You may have even met a handful of times over the years, but you've never done business together. At level 3, that's where you've sold 1 or 2 projects, transactions, or engagements to a client. You're considered an expert for hire. The client might say, "She did a very good job on that for us." At level 4, you've become a steady supplier, a regular vendor. You might even be the client's firm of choice in your area of expertise. Not a bad place to be, but you might still have to compete for each contract. And you're by no means part of this client's inner circle of trusted relationships. At level 5, that's where you're a trusted advisor. The client might say, "He does a great job. He's outstanding in his field. He has good business sense and judgment. I use him as a sounding board for tough decisions. I trust him completely to always do what's right for me." If you work for a firm that perhaps has multiple service offerings and offices, you may also reach level 6, trusted partner. The distinction is that when you're a trusted partner, there are usually many-to-many relationships between your firm and the client. There is also an institutional aspect to the relationship. It transcends any one individual. If you are a solo practitioner, you'll aspire to level 5, and if you work for a firm, you'll aspire to level 5 and also level 6. Another way of looking at the 4 levels of client relationships, that is, expert vendor, trusted advisor, and trusted partner, is to array them in a 2x2 matrix. I call it the client growth matrix. You'll find this diagram in your workbook. On the x-axis, you have your individual role with the client. Are you an expert for hire or a client advisor? On the y-axis, you have the firm relationship. Is it narrow, that is, based on the provision of just 1 or 2 services or products, and based on a single relationship? Or is it broad, based on multiple products and services and many-to-many relationships? The key dividing line in the chart is right in the middle. When you're to the left of it, when you're the expert for hire or a vendor, you're in what I call RFP territory. That is, there's always the likelihood that you'll have to compete for each new assignment. When you're to the right of the center line, towards client advisor or trusted partner, the odds of getting sole source business are much, much higher. I find this matrix useful because you can map your current relationships in the 4 quadrants. You'll have an opportunity to do this in your workbook. Remember, no one has all their relationships on the right-hand side. It's normal to have them spread in multiple quadrants. We've talked about what clients want and the different stages of relationship evolution. So, how would we know a good relationship if we saw one? First and foremost, is there mutual trust? And how can you tell? Well, one sign is that you can work informally without a lot of checks and controls. Another sign is transparency, which is the second characteristic. Does the client share their plans with you? Is there an open exchange of information? When a client won't share information with you, that's a sign of a lack of trust. They're treating you like a vendor. In the best relationships, the client should view you as a thought leader in your area of expertise. You're part of the client's inner circle, at least for conversations and decisions in your area of specialization. When a client calls you up and says, "I just want to run an idea by you," that's a great sign. Loyalty is a 4th important quality. Will the client always turn to you when they have a need for the services you provide? Now, in some sectors, of course, banking and legal services, for example, clients often make use of multiple vendors. But even in those cases, there are typically 2 or 3 firms that are the principal advisors or providers to the client. If a client has no loyalty to you, how good can the relationship be? The 5th criteria is referenceability. Is your client enthusiastically recommending you to friends and colleagues? Are you getting spontaneous word of mouth about what a great job you do? At a minimum, if asked, will your client provide a very positive reference for you? These are the core characteristics you should look at. There's trust, transparency, you're viewed as a thought leader, there's loyalty, and the client will eagerly refer you to others. If you aspire to build trusted partner relationships, there are a couple of other qualities that are important as well. These would be, first, wallet share. Are you one of the top two or three providers to that client in your market? Many-to-many relationships. Are there several or more trusted advisor relationships between your firm's professionals and key executives at the client's organization? And finally, whether for individuals or firms, there's financial performance. A healthy relationship provides value for both sides. If you're not getting a satisfactory financial return in terms of gross margin and net profit, then there is something wrong with the arrangement. In the workbook, there is a client relationship assessment that lists these criteria. You can use it to evaluate your own relationships. In the next lesson, I'm going to share with you an absolutely critical shift you need to make in order to consistently improve and manage your client relationships.